Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Bravo Papers. Here to talk about Vanderpump Rules, here to talk about the after show, specifically episode 8. This, I feel like doing this after show recap is the only thing that keeps me sort of, you know, in my head. It keeps me on track with what episode we're on, because sometimes these seasons go by and I'm like, oh, damn, we're on like, you know, episode 15 already or whatever it is. And they've already filmed the reunion for Vanderpump Rules, which means, I mean, I don't know if it means anything, but I'm kind of like, does that mean this is going to be a really short season? Because to already be filming it at season 8 seems, I don't know, that seems soon to me. And it was like before this episode even. So I'm like, does that just mean they don't have a lot of content? I don't know. That seems like that might be what it means. Which, I mean, I'm kind of not surprised. Like, I mean, we've got storylines happening, but it's kind of all just really revolving around the same storyline, which is like, who's going to be friends with who? And who's going to stay loyal to Ariana and who's not. And it, I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point. And yeah, that just seems to be it. Okay, so the after show, you know, as usual, brought some interesting tidbits. I think one interesting thing too is, you know, they have more perspectives now from the cast of The Valley. And they didn't have a lot of The Valley cast in this episode, but you get a lot more Kristen Doty, which I appreciate because she does have some insights that, you know, kind of give, I don't know, just give us some good information. I don't know how else to say it, especially in regards to Joe. And there's a little bit from Brittany. She doesn't really add much because it's Brittany. But, you know, there's one part where they get some input from the guys, but it's more of like the guys of The Valley, but it's more of like a light portion of the interview. You know, speaking of that, I watched The Valley. I enjoyed The Valley. It is getting, you know, positive, overwhelmingly positive feedback from, you know, Bravo content creators and Bravo fans on social media. I haven't seen anyone say they didn't like it yet. And the only people who I've said who've said negative things are people who've just said they are not going to watch it because they can't stand Jax and whatever. So that's not really a bad review necessarily of the show. Listen, it's a good show. I highly recommend that you watch it. I'm this is not like an ad. I'm not sponsored for this or anything like that. I just honestly thought it was really good. I also think that it is where Vanderpump is going. Like, I don't think Vanderpump Rules has a lot of life left. And I think they're going to be transitioning, not all, but most of the cast over to The Valley, right? Lala, definitely. Sheena and Brock, definitely. I think Sandoval is going to be out, just like the Bravo sphere, once Vanderpump Rules is done. I think Ariana will move on to something different. I could see Tom and Katie in like friend of rules kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know. That's James and Allie. I don't know how much of a place they would have on it. But yeah, I guess we're going to see. So I go into The Valley and I do a whole kind of like all my thoughts on the first episode and all the different characters and all that on my Patreon. So if you're looking for bonus content, you know, I do usually talk about, you know, my thoughts on like weekly episodes or just like drama that's happening. You know, I talked about The Valley. I talked about this week's Summer House. I talked about, what was the other thing? Oh, buying Beverly Hills and some of those clips that are floating around about with Kyle and Mauricio and you know, the audacity of it all. So if you're interested in that, it's patreon.com/bravoandbotox. All right. So let's get into the episode. So first they talk about Dancing with the Stars, which, duh. I mean, that's kind of like the biggest thing going on in terms of storylines. Who would have thought that this would have been the biggest storyline? Actually, yeah, maybe we would have because, you know, it's Sheena. So Sheena does this whole speech. Okay. Like she's been watching it since the early days. She's had tons of friends who were on it. She's been in the audience, you know, and then she's like naming people who she's known who've been on it on and on and on. It's giving gatekeeping. So it's like she's really trying to, you know, and no, she doesn't say this literally, but in my view, I'm getting the sort of implied message that, you know, she's sort of trying to say like, this is her territory. Right? Like, I'm the one who's like a real fan of the show. Like, you know, like you get tickets to a concert, maybe, and then like one of your friends who also likes the group, like didn't get a ticket. And then they're like, well, you're not even like a real fan, like as though it's like some type of injustice. That's what this is kind of giving, right? It's like she's really gatekeeping Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, and then she has to clarify that she was not mad about Ariana getting it. She was just mad about how she found out, which is a little unclear because first she said she found out through Ariana's boyfriend. Then she said social media. And then I think she was on the Jeff Lewis radio show on Sirius XM. And I think she also said something about like, I don't know, social media of some kind. Either way, it's like, which is it? It just keeps kind of like, there's like been three different stories. It all sounds like BS. Listen, I just got to call a spade here. She's mad that Ariana got it. Let's just be real. She's mad about that. She's jealous of it. But she can't say that. She knows Sheena is smart enough. And I don't give her that often, but she's smart enough to know that if she says that straight out, like, I'm jealous, I'm kind of mad she got it because she's never even given a crap about Dancing with the Stars. It's never been her dream. She's never even mentioned it. Like, if she says that, you know, and she's only getting it because she got cheated on, right? Those are all the things that Sheena wants to say. Let's be real. Okay. She can't say that. So this excuse, this roundabout, you know, oh, I'm mad about how I found out. This is Sheena's way of being able to get mad at Ariana without getting mad at her for the real reason. So she can still get mad at her and get those emotions out, but she doesn't have to admit the real reason why she's mad. Because this is a more socially acceptable way, right? This is also a good way for, you know, Sheena to kind of start to paint Ariana as a bad friend, which also helps to further her narrative of wanting to be friends with Tom Sandoval again. You know, so it's like two birds with one stone. So Sheena says that Ariana called her and said, you know, okay, I guess Sheena was like, yo, what's going on with this? And Ariana was like, okay, I'm in talks. My name has been put in. But, you know, either way, it's a good F you to Tom Sandoval because he's always wanted it. I don't know what Sheena thought telling us that was going to do, like if we would be like, oh my God, Ariana doesn't even really want to be on Dancing with the Stars. She just did it to spite her ex. Like, I don't know. That makes me like Ariana more, if anything, because like, listen, I can be petty. I enjoy pettiness. And when it comes to an ex who screws you over as hard as Sandoval did, yeah, let's do something petty. Why not? And it's a pettiness that's like a productive pettiness because it is an F you to Tom, but it also propels Ariana's career. So it's like two birds with one stone. Why not? So I don't know like if that was like Sheena's backwards way of saying like, see, Ariana didn't even want it. What does Sheena want Ariana to do? Be like, sorry, no, my friend Sheena wants it. Can you give it to her? They're not going to do that. Dancing with the Stars is a business like any other business. They're trying to get ratings, which is sponsorship and ad money. So what are they going to do? They're going to put on the person of the moment, which at that moment was Ariana. Are they going to want, would they have wanted Ariana in 5 years? No, they wouldn't. Would they have wanted Ariana 5 years ago or even 2 years ago or 1 year ago? No, because she wasn't like the moment. Okay. And again, there isn't always celebrities who are the moment, right? But there happened to be one this time and they went for it. And it completely makes sense from a business standpoint on their end, from a career standpoint on Ariana's end. So whether it was also to say F you to Tom, that's just like, to me, that's just like a cherry on top, the F you to Tom. Then they go to Tom and he's like, Sandoval, and he's like, I've always wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars. Okay. He's like, I've always wanted that, dude, you know? Okay, no one cares. Anyways, you're never going to get on it. Maybe in like 20 years, if like they're really desperate. Lala says, you know, Sheena is a very supportive friend and that the word jealous is an ugly word. And this clip has been floating around social media like crazy. So you might have seen this specific clip because Lala is getting a lot of hate for it. Basically, Lala says, you know, defend Sheena, said she's only hurt because of how she found out. So we're really going with that, like how she found out narrative. And then Brittany chimes in and is like, you know, didn't the same thing happen with Chicago and that even her business partner didn't know or something like that? Maybe it was business manager. I wrote partner, but I was thinking like, who is that Katie? Because then Lala jumps in, and this is what made me think that maybe it was Katie, because then Lala jumps in and says, oh, yes, it did. That was wild for her to not tell Katie, her own business partner. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's not like Katie's like her manager. I don't know. I just thought that was weird. But Brittany might have meant maybe her someone else. Although, why wouldn't Ariana's business manager know about a business deal? Isn't that what managers do? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but listen, it's like they're deliberately trying to not understand the way that these situations work. I don't know. Maybe it's because like Lala and Brittany haven't booked a big thing like Dancing with the Stars and Chicago. No shade. Except actually I did mean shade, but maybe it's because they've never booked anything like that. So maybe they don't know about how it works. Just saying. And then, so this is the thing that has lit up the internet. This is Lala saying, she's like, you know, something about her is like Schwartz and Sandys. And Katie is Schwartz and Ariana is Sandoval. And Lala thinks this is so funny and so intelligent. She's like, anybody else notice that? And like, she's like cracking up at herself. And I'm like, okay, I guess she's trying to say that because maybe because Sandoval wasn't around for a lot of Schwartz and Sandys because he was like touring and doing his thing. And maybe because Ariana's like so busy with her like entertainment career now that she's not around as much when it comes to something about her and Katie is. I guess you could make that comparison, but I wouldn't make that comparison unless I knew that, you know, is Katie getting left with all the work? Is that what's happening? You know, is Katie like drowning in responsibilities and debt and all this stuff over something about her? Like, it doesn't seem like that's the situation, right? And Ariana's not like touring with a cover band and hoping it becomes something. Like, she's not taking an opportunity that isn't really anything, right? Like, Tom Sandoval's doing this cover band and it's like his pathetic attempt at, you know, being a rock star, even though he can't, and it's leading to really nothing except more debt and more money. Ariana's doing something that's making her a lot of money that can, and again, that money could possibly be put back into the business. I don't know, right? So it's not really, it's not the same situation. And it's also just like the, just calling Ariana Sandoval, even if it was an apt comparison, which it's not, but let's just pretend it was, just the act of calling Ariana Sandoval, it's just rude. It's just so rude at this point after everything that's happened. Maybe I'm going to start calling Lala Rand. Oh, Lala's like Rand. Like, how would she feel if somebody said that? Like, okay. Ariana then says and kind of clarifies things that she didn't tell anyone except Logan and one other person, which is exactly what Brittany or which exactly what Sheena says, because Sheena's like, I think she just told like Logan and someone else. Maybe it was Brad. I can't remember the name, but Ariana says she didn't tell anyone except Logan and this other person. And there was a big fear that basically it coming out, you know, Dancing with the Stars, Chicago. She kept saying it, so I didn't know which show she was referring to in this instance. But either way, that it coming out, that it would deter it from happening and that it would lose it for her. So she said she had to keep it a secret. There was a lot of fear around it. And then she said since then, she's actually spoken to the head producer, who says that she's glad that Ariana didn't tell people and that they would have been pissed if she did. And that also, you know, they said Sheena's a public figure. Okay, so it must have been Dancing with the Stars now that I see that. Sheena's a public figure. And by the time Ariana's boyfriend told Sheena, it was a kind of like official and public. So it was okay to tell people. So yeah, listen, that's Ariana's kind of nice way of saying Sheena can't keep a secret. That's what she's saying. Sheena can't keep a secret. Sheena's got a podcast. Sheena never shuts the F up on her podcast. And Sheena's got a vlog. Sheena's got a freaking Instagram for everything. Listen, it's a lot, okay? And Sheena and Lala and James, if I'm going to be fair, they all have big mouths on social media. Okay, and they all did nothing but chatter nonstop throughout this whole Scandoval thing to make as much money as they could. So I get why Ariana didn't trust them with a very delicate secret. Okay, I get it. And they need to get over it. Okay, Ariana also says that the time between when it was official and when she was in talks was just a weird, freaky time. She felt like she was on thin ice, like it could get taken away from her at any moment, which I totally get. There's this saying that I've grown up with that my dad always instilled in me, and I live by it, and I've always lived by it. You don't tell people that you're going to do something. You tell them that you're doing it, which means that in most cases, you have to wait until you're doing it. So for example, you're applying, that again, this is not like 100%, but it's like, you're just say you're like applying to like a new job, okay? You don't tell people you're applying. You wait until you get the job, okay? Now, again, this is not a black and white rule, okay? Maybe you do tell people who are going to help you with your interview skills, or maybe you do tell the person who's going to write you a reference letter, of course, but like, it's like you don't count your chickens before they hatch, right? You don't tell someone you're doing something. You tell them that you're going to do something or you're planning on it. Because oftentimes in life, you know, things don't always work out the way that we want. And one thing that kind of sucks sometimes is having to tell everyone that, you know, you didn't get something, it didn't work out, or you have people who awkwardly will ask you a question. Like, it's like the same reason a lot of women wait until they're like 13 weeks pregnant before they tell anyone, because you just never know. And there's a lot more risk for miscarriage in that first while. And again, that doesn't mean like I shame or judge anyone who does tell people something like that early because they're excited. You know, we're all humans, right? But I get, like, I live in that mindset of like, if I tell a lot of people before it's for sure, I'm going to jinx it and something's going to happen. Okay. That's like also partly my own anxiety. I get that. But I could understand Ariana having that same feeling. Okay. Like, everything that I've done in my life that's been like a big thing, I've waited till it was official before I told anybody, because that's just like, I get that mindset. I totally get it. Right. So, and yeah, when you chatter too much, sometimes it can get in the way of that stuff. So, you know, then they asked Sandoval if he watched Dancing with the Stars. He says no, and it would be weird. This is like the one time I agree with him. Schwartz says he did watch some of her dances, and then he voted for her, even though she iced him out, like as though like he's such a good person. I don't know. And just like the tone that he says it in is very like, I don't know. Schwartz just still lives in that like misogynist, like, you know, I don't know, like he thinks like women owe him something. Okay, so then next they talk about the sexy singles party, not single sexy party. Although that could be a good name too. Ariana just says, you know, I just think it's weird, like, to have like a sexy singles party. You know, she said Ariana thinks the girls who were there, she's like, personally, if I was them, she's like, I don't mean any judgment of them, but if I was them, I would feel weird when I got there if I found out that was like the guy's ex's house and I'm swimming in her pool and using her stuff and her dog is there. And which, like, I get that. I would feel that way too. You know, and she just is like, I just feel like it's a weird thing for Tom to do and, you know, disrespectful, etc. You know, Schwartz said he did feel it was weird because, you know, he says he gets that he's like trying to meet new people, Sandoval, etc. But, you know, he doesn't need to like have these parties and do it under the same roof as his ex, which, correct. I guess a broken clock is right once in a while, twice a day, whatever the saying is. Sandoval says he lost a lot of friends. So he's just trying to meet new friends, guys. And it wasn't just girls. It was guys too. Yeah, no one said it was just girls. it's still kind of weird. You know, it's one thing like if he just had his friends over, but it's clear that like, you know, he was like inviting these girls over to like hit on them, which it didn't go well, but whatever. Jack says, basically, it's a sticky situation. You know, it's a tough, because now we got Jax in the mix here, but it's a tough situation. But he's like, you know what? Ariana's doing well. You know, she's making money. If she's like that upset, you know, she could get an Airbnb. Or again, it always is on the woman. It's always the woman who has to do the heavy lifting, the moving, the changing. Always, always. So, you know, and Jax does kind of preface it where he's like, I might get some hate for this kind of thing. He's like, you know, I just like, she's the one who has to go spend more money and blah, blah, blah. But like, just because she's making more money doesn't mean she should have to spend more money. I'm just saying, like, it's not her responsibility what financial situation he's in now. Okay. Sandoval said, you know, she's had friends there. And he tells about this time where she had friends there for quote unquote days. Now, and then on the fifth day, this is really awkward. On the fifth day, he just went down to the kitchen and just sat there and stared at them. I guess they were watching TV. And he was like, if you guys don't keep it down, I bought that TV and I'm going to unplug it.
Okay.
As if they can't plug it back in. But anyways, I was kind of like, is he talking about right after the breakup? Because I remember that it was talked about with like Kristen, you know, Ariana, a lot of them talked about it, how the first few days, like she was in such shambles, like she couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, she was so upset. And that she did have some of her friends like come over and stay, like her like besties for like, and just like hang out as like emotional support. And once again, I mean, Tom did say that she was, you know, suicidal. So isn't it good that she has people there with her to support her? Like, he's just, everything he says is a contradiction. Nothing makes sense because everything he says is some kind of lie or manipulation. But anyways, that is what I think he's talking about. I do not think that Ariana had like a 5-day bender with a bunch of people getting hammered at her house. And it sounds like he was annoyed that the TV was loud. Okay, fine. Tell them to turn it down. That's fine. Text them. But I remember this was also the time like where Kristen Doty said that she was trying to convince Tom to like get out of the house, like give Ariana like a few days here to just like digest all this and adjust and, you know, cry and be devastated before. But like he refused to leave. So yeah, I have no sympathy for him. And then Tom talks about, you know, how it feels to be single. No one cares. Okay. Ariana says basically it feels like every 3 weeks or so he does something disrespectful to her to just, you know, that just kind of reminds her of who he is. Whether it's like going on his own podcast, talking crap about her. And she says, you know, it's sometimes it's annoying. It's like the everyone's expectations of him are so low that even when he does do things, like no one really cares because it's like, oh, well, we expect that because, you know, we all expect that he sucks. which I understand what she's saying. Although I do think that he's gotten like some backlash for like the bigger things, obviously, like the George Floyd comparison. And listen, he's not getting any sympathy this season. Right. We all, I think a lot of people kind of thought the tides were going to turn and people were going to be like anti Ariana. And there are some of those people, but the majority is not. Okay. So dating. They talk about, you know, Schwartz kind of talks about dating. And, you know, Schwartz said, like, if he went on a date with someone at this age, he wouldn't really care if they wanted to talk about their ex. You know, he'd be happy to like get all into it because they're older now. It's not like a deal breaker. I mean, I don't know. I guess that's a matter of opinion, whether you want to go on a date with someone and hear about their ex. I wouldn't personally, and I'm 40 and whatever. Okay. Anyways, then Schwartz, I don't know. It's like they all have like this really like Schwartz, Jax, and Sandoval. They all have this really like depressing, pessimistic take on marriage and relationships, right? And then Schwartz is like, you know, they're expecting a wave of divorces in the next few years. I don't know who they are or where he read that or got that from. Like, he doesn't give us any sort of source or citation. He doesn't even mention like, oh, I read in the Times. Like, there's no, he's just like, they're expecting. I'm like, who's they? Based on what? But it just seems like he's like, oh my God, am I a statistic? Like, it's just like Schwartz. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like he's just trying to normalize his own mistakes and behaviors. And again, not that like divorce isn't normal, because it is, but it doesn't, I don't know. It's like a false equivalency. Well, maybe not a false equivalency, but it's just Schwartz. Maybe that's it. It's just Schwartz. I'm trying to give logic to Schwartz. You can't do that. Jax then, okay, this was the most interesting part to me, because we know Jax and Brittany are on the rocks or separated, whatever you want to call it. And Jax gets into this like speech about marriage. And he's like, marriage is different these days. You know, you should be able, it should be like, you know, you go to the DMV and you can like renew it every 10 years and just like walk away without all the messiness. Or if you, things are going okay, you can like renew it, you know, which, listen, it's not the worst idea, but it's also, there's so many, so many reasons why that just would never work. And then he's like, you know, life isn't the same as it used to be. Like, you know, my dad used to go to work from 8 to 5 and, you know, now everyone works from home and it's like too much time together. It's quite a speech. Like, he goes on and on. Listen, I see what he's saying. I am a believer in too much time together is negative. Like, I've never been one of, like, in my group of friends, I have some friends who like want to spend so much time with their husband. And I always think it's like crazy, because I do want to spend time with mine, but not too much. Like, I really value my own independent time as well, and having my own interests that are just mine, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you do need that time. And if you work together, live together, breathe together, do everything 24/7, then yeah, that can put a strain on people, right? Like, you do have to have your own thing. So maybe, like, I kind of am getting that impression that maybe that's part of Jax and Brittany's issue, right? Like, they got fired, you know, then it's the pandemic. Then they have a kid and you tend to be home, like the first couple years, especially with a kid, you tend to be home a lot, because there's not like, you can take them to like kid type of things and activities, but there's not a lot of places you can bring them where it's like, you know, socially acceptable, or where you can even have fun because you have a toddler running around, right? And it can be hard to get babysitters, you know, especially when they're younger. And if you don't have like parents close by who are willing to watch them all the time, which we know Jax doesn't, and we know Brittany doesn't. Because, you know, I don't even know if Jax is talking to his mom, who's in Florida, and Brittany's family's in Kentucky. So I don't know what their situation is, right? On top of that, Jax and Brittany have been working from home, if you think about it. They've both been influencing and doing like influencer type stuff. And that is a home thing. Right. So they probably are together a lot. I bet you that has taken a strain on them. And I can understand that. But again, there's ways to solve that. Maybe that was part of why Jax opened the bar. I don't know. I guess we're going to maybe find out more on the Valley. But either way, he goes on quite a speech. And if you read between the lines, it seems to be that he's sick of Britney. I'm sorry. That's I feel bad to say that because they have a kid, but it's true. Okay. So then they talk about the never have I ever. You know, Brock discusses his threesome, said it was actually a foursome. There was like two men, two women. But, you know, he jumped the gun with the drinking. Like he said he drank and it was kind of like he just heard threesome and he drank. But it technically wasn't like two guys, I guess, like him and two guys, which I guess was the never have I ever. And he said this happened in San Diego. I was like, okay, Brock. I guess this is what he came to the U.S. to do after leaving his family. Okay. So Sheena is very happy to tell her John Mayer story again and again. Listen, she's been telling this story since 2009. I feel like she wants it to be a thing and she wants it to go viral and all that stuff. Like she did like an interview that somebody pulled up in like 2009 on like one of those like entertainment shows talking about like hooking up with him and like telling her whole story. Sheena was born thirsty. Like the more I hear about this, she's like, you know, those were my Hollywood phase, right? As in she was like going around or whatever. That's what she called it, right? Which fine, have your fun. I have no problem with that. I think though, it sounds like, I don't know. It sounds to me, just based on her whole thing with Brandy's ex, it sounds to me like she was trying to bag a Hollywood guy, right? Like a famous guy, right? Because it sounds like she was doing a lot of this kind of stuff with celebs, because I do think she was trying to get into a relationship. And I do think that she probably chose and was wanting to date like guys that were famous, which again, is that like a crime or a really bad thing? No, I don't think so. But I do think a part of it is like I think Sheena's always wanted to be famous. She wanted to be like fame adjacent, right? You know, even when she was talking about Dancing with the Stars, she was like, oh, I just remember when I was young watching it and being like, oh my God, if I'm famous one day, like you can tell like Sheena like dreamt of being famous, which again, I think a lot of this cast did because they were all like aspiring like actors, models, whatever. So again, though, she keeps telling this story and she told it again on this episode. And like, yeah, I guess some people chatted about it, but like no one really cares. No one. So John Mayer slept with some people. I don't know. Like it's nothing groundbreaking. Kristen says she's tried threesomes twice and that it didn't work out. And that there was even some girl from Sir who was not on Vanderpump Rules, but thought that she could, quote unquote, help Kristen and Tom's bad relationship when they were together, their quote unquote sexless relationship, by having a threesome with them, and went home with them back to their apartment. And Tom Sandoval said he only wanted to hook up with the new girl. So it didn't work out. And the new girl was like, no, I'm here for a threesome, and left. God. So Sandoval's never changed, basically. Okay. So then let's talk about Joe. So there's a lot of like, I'm torn with Joe, I have to be honest, because in one way, I like her for television, like not as a person, but I like how she's kind of quirky and silly and weird. And listen, maybe this is a hot take or an unpopular opinion, but I do think her and Schwartz would make a good couple. And maybe it's not even actually, because I saw Katie on Watch What Happens Live say the same thing of all people. But they do kind of make sense together. Like they're both like weird. I don't know. I think they just make sense. I do find her entertaining. I think she's a good addition to the cast. Do I like her as a person? Am I on her side when it comes to the whole Katie thing? No, I'm on Katie's side, of course. But do I think she's like a girl's girl? I don't think she's a girl's girl at all. I think she's like Sheena, but like a weird Sheena. She's like the quirky, weird Sheena. So basically, Schwartz said it transitioned from a friendship to a hookup pretty quick. He's like 2 or 3 months. I think it was probably like 2 or 3 hours, but that's just my opinion. Katie says that Joe was texting her, you know, kind of like a supportive friend when she got divorced, and was texting Katie and asking, but like texting her weird things as well. Like, can you ask Tom if he needs a haircut? And Katie was like, can you just DM him? Like, why do you have to text me to ask him if he needs a haircut? She said like weird things like that. And basically that she kept hitting Katie up and it was weird. And then the next thing she knows, she's asking, you know, Joe is asking Tom if she can live with him. And it was like right at that weird time when they're going through the divorce. And she said she was going to be supportive of Katie. So Katie was like, why are you uncomfortable asking if he needs a haircut? And then all of a sudden you ask him if you can live with him and that you've moved in. And she's like, it was just a weird situation. And that she's weird is basically what Katie said, which I think we can all see that. And then Tom kind of, Schwartz kind of tells it like, oh, she came over to cut my hair and we just became really good friends. Like, okay. Kristen, I think you became more than really good friends. It sounds like Joe always had a thing for Schwartz. And, you know, the second the divorce was over, she could get in there and she did. That's it, right? Let's just be real. Kristen says that, you know, the first she heard of this whole situation was she moved into her new place. And, you know, three of them, I guess, went out to lunch. So Kristen, Joe, and someone else. And that was like the last time that she saw Joe, because her and Joe were like super close. They would see each other like 4 days a week, super close. And this was like around July of like the affair year. Okay. So that was the last time she saw her. They went out to lunch and she would normally see her, like I said, 4 days a week. And then suddenly she was getting ghosted. So Kristen was like, oh, what's going on? Right. And then one day Kristen gets a call from Katie while Katie's filming Vanderpump Rules. So we're assuming this is while she was filming season 10. And Katie was at Tom Schwartz's apartment filming and goes to use the bathroom. And there's all this girl stuff in there and was like, what the hell? Right. And Kristen was like, I had no idea. She tried to talk to Joe about it. She said, you know, why didn't you ask if you can stay with me? Like, she had just moved into a 2-bedroom apartment, wasn't even dating Luke yet at the time, like had an extra room. Like, she's like, it was just all weird that she would ask him. And around that time, this was before Scandoval came out and everyone knew about it. So before that, a lot of Kristen's friends in the Valley would see the foursome around. So that being like Joe, Rachel, and the two Toms. But they all thought that it was Schwartz and Rachel who had a thing, as we all did. And they thought, you know, Sandoval and Joe were basically just the only two people that Schwartz and Rachel could hang out with. So none of them thought, you know, didn't think anything of it at that time. Kristen says, basically, I'm sorry I brought James and Joe into the group. Okay. So that kind of clear. So I really see why Katie is not a fan of her. Again, I don't judge Allie for giving her a chance, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, Allie's new, whatever. I think Allie's just trying to like be nice, but I do understand why they're kind of like, okay, this girl's just like trying to get on the show, trying to get with Schwartz. And we've had a girl like that before. Her name was Raquel, now Rachel, and it didn't go well. So yeah, keep your guard up. All right, so then we have Sandoval's apology to Katie. So Katie says it's clear that Sandoval has done no introspective work. He has not given a thought to anything. Katie says, you know, she didn't go like sleep with Schwartz's best friend as soon as things got rough. And, you know, that there's ways to get out of a relationship without cheating. And then a producer says to Katie, yeah, you waited a year and 7 months, like as in like before sleeping with his best friend or something like that. And Katie's like, exactly. And then like the producer and Ariana and Katie all laugh. And then they show this clip that I hadn't seen before with Tom saying like, you effed my best friend. And I was like, what? So I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's coming from later in the season. I mean, it's obviously not Sandoval. So it's like, what best friend? Like, what are they talking about? I don't know. We'll see. So stay tuned for that. Katie says Sandoval did maybe play a role in her divorce, but it's not his fault. Because at the end of the day, Schwartz made those choices. Schwartz allowed it, which I agree with. I think you can only blame someone so much. Outside of your own marriage. Schwartz says, you know, it was his fault for sure. He doesn't blame anyone else except maybe the bar a little bit because it took over his life. And then Katie does say that, yeah, Sandoval had such a terrible view of her and they were together all the time, like Schwartz and Sandoval. So she could see how like a lot of his opinions about her would have rubbed off on Schwartz. As for the emotionally entitled thing, because the producer asks about that, like Schwartz and Sandoval are constantly calling Katie emotionally entitled, which first of all is not a thing. I just want to say that. Because emotionally entitled implies that you have a sense of entitlement over something that you shouldn't have. We actually are entitled to our emotions because as humans, we are. We're entitled to our emotions. There's a few things we're entitled to: safety, security, right? It doesn't mean that we're always going to get them, right? Anyone can feel how they want to feel about anything. You can't tell people how to feel, right? So this is one thing that I'm just like with the Toms, I never got when they would say that. It was like their way of saying women are not allowed to be emotional about something if it's like their emotion disagrees with us, right? It's not about emotional entitlement. It's about them being like, if you disagree with us, we have to find a way to, you know, disrespect and disregard how you feel because it's not what we feel, basically. Okay. Anyway, so Katie says she doesn't care that they say that because they are so emotionally immature. So their opinion doesn't, you know, mean anything to her. Ariana then makes a very good point and says, if anything, emotionally, like Ariana's like, I don't even know what that means. But if anything, what emotionally entitled would be is putting your partner of 9 years through hell by cheating on them because you're going through something. Good point, right? That was always, I'm going through a hard time. I was depressed. It was this, it was that. So I had to sleep with Rachel 50 times in your bed. Like, give me a break. Okay, the last topic is Jax's return. Sandoval basically straight off the bat is like, it sucked. Which to me is like making a deal with the devil is worth it. If it means that, you know, we're going to annoy Tom, even if it is for 5 minutes. Jax says, you know, he's not going to hold grudges over something that he's also done, as in cheating. And that, you know, he's like, you know, the whole world hates him. Everyone knows that what he did was wrong. He knows what he did is wrong. I would disagree with that, but whatever. So Jax is like, listen, we've been friends for a long time, longer than we haven't been friends. I'm not just going to throw that away. I'm too old to hold grudges. You know, he's got like the list of excuses. And then Jax says he was more mad about how it impacted Schwartz and their business. And it just seemed like Sandoval abandoned him, like going on tour with his group. But looking back on it, you know, Jax understands that he just wanted to run away from it. Okay. And then Jax is like, you know, he knows what he did was wrong. So what does it do for me to stay mad at him? Okay. Sandoval says that some good did come out of this whole thing. Ariana's thriving, then he's friends with Jax again. Okay. If you see being friends with Jax again as a positive, we'll go with it. Whatever. Then they ask him, or they ask the guys about like the number one guy in the group comment to end off. Basically, they say, who is it? Oh, sorry. They say, in terms of the show, The Valley, Jax is the number one guy in the group. Lala and Brittany agree. Kristen and Sheena disagree, and they say it's Jason. And then they go to Brox and James and they say it's James. But then they say, yes, Jax kind of like runs the valley now that he's got his bar and he knows everyone or whatever. And then Michelle, so the girls from the valley say Jesse would like to think he's the number one guy in the group. But, you know, obviously the implication is that he likes to think he is, but he's not. I guess he put up an Instagram post with like the teaser for the valley and he wrote as a caption that he's the number one guy in the group, like as a joke. And I mean, they all kind of laugh, but it sounds like Jax was actually mad about it, which is so Jax. Like, I could see Jax actually being mad about that. Or maybe, though, listen, maybe it's because Jax knows Jesse. Because now that I've seen Jesse in both the after show and on The Valley, maybe it probably wasn't a joke. Jason and the Valley guys say Jax is the number one guy in the group by default because he's been on TV the longest. Let's just be real, which is true. It's just a default standing. And then Jesse's like, no, I'm still the number one guy. And then they all kind of laugh. And then that's the end. Okay. So another after show complete. So thank you so much, everyone. And for your patience with this episode and for your patience with Bravo Weekly News. I had a terrible migraine this week and I just couldn't do my recording and editing and I got way behind. So I'm like playing catch up now. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Please, rate, review, subscribe. If you could leave a 5-star rating, I would love that. And thank you so much. Follow me on Instagram at the Bravo Papers and at Bravo and Botox. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.